this is Doris Hyde for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. For the next half hour, I will be presenting the latest vision news. Today's vision news is underwritten by the Apex Lions Club, serving the community since 1937 by providing services and financial support for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. To learn more about the services provided by the Apex Lions Club, go to apexlions.org. First up, from disabilityrightsnc.org, resources for Hurricane Helene disaster recovery. The Disability and Disaster Hotline. If you are impacted by Hurricane Helene and need help, call or text the Disability and Disaster Hotline at 800-626-4959 or email hotline@disasterstrategies.org. For true life-threatening emergencies, call 911. Important note, local 911 operators are overwhelmed with calls in Western North Carolina. Call local 911 only in life-threatening situations. Apply for FEMA assistance for homeowners and renters. FEMA 1-800-621-3362. TTY 1-800-462-7585. HomeDisasterAssistance.gov. NCDPS website with information on shelters, cleanup efforts, power outage updates, and more. Hurricane Helene, NCDPS. Find open Red Cross shelters in addition to shelters listed on DPS website. disaster shelters/find shelters/American Red Cross. Note, if your shelter is inaccessible, notify the shelter's administrator and the local EMS director. Also, notify DRNC 919-856-2195 or email communications@disabilityrightsnc.org. Salvation Army, hope is on the way. The Salvation Army of the Carolinas, two-state response to impacts from Helene. SalvationArmyUSA.org. Ready NC, road conditions, power outages, shelter information, and more. Plan, prepare, stay informed. Ready NC. Help in a hurry. Quick guide to finding essentials and navigating Asheville after Helene. Asheville guide to finding food, water, shelter, and Wi-Fi after Helene. Citizen-times.com. Reddit community with numerous links and resources for information about Asheville and surrounding areas. AshevilleNCReddit.com. Food Bank. Find help. Second Harvest Food Bank of Northwest NC, United States. SecondHarvestNWNC.org. NC Emergency Management. If you call NC211 1-888-892-1162 to report a missing person or request a welfare check, press 1 once you are connected to reach an operator. Have all information available, name, location, health conditions, etc., to complete the request. Call volumes are high, but operators are processing requests as quickly as possible. Also, if you have connected with someone who is listed as missing, please call NC211 to report you found them. FB page, NC Weather Authority. https://www.facebook.com/NC Weather Authority. Crowdsourced data about resources in the Asheville area post Hurricane Helene. Hurricane Helene Asheville Response. USHAHIDI.IO. Missing people in Buncombe County. In response to the Asheville and Buncombe County areas affected by Hurricane Helene, as of September 2024, please complete this form to notify Buncombe County officials of your missing friends and loved ones. They will do their best to locate and update their current status at the Buncombe County Register of Deeds Office at 205 College Street, Asheville, NC 28801. Please complete a different form for each missing person. Buncombe Search, September 2024, Hotlink. Buncombe Busqueda, September 2024, Google.com. Pisgah Legal Services staff, P-I-S-G-A-H, are also deeply affected by Hurricane Helene and are closed the week of September 30 to October 4 for the safety of their staff. but they are updating their website with information. https://www.pisgahlegal.org/updates-post-hurricane-helene/. Legal Aid of North Carolina can help immediately after the storm. Tropical Storm Helene Disaster Assistance Hotlink. Legal Aid of North Carolina at legalaidnc.org. NC Medicaid temporary flexibilities due to Hurricane Helene. This bulletin describes flexibilities effective September 26, 2024 to October 2, 2024, unless otherwise communicated by DHHS for the NC Medicaid program, including NC Medicaid Direct and NC Medicaid Managed Care. Includes information on reimbursement for medically necessary services during Hurricane Helene, early prescription refills during the governor's state of emergency declaration, and more. NC Medicaid temporary flexibilities due to Hurricane Helene, NC Medicaid, ncdhhs.gov hotlink. Be Loved Asheville is an incredible organization helping folks locally. Keep up with their current efforts, including food and water distribution online. Beloved Asheville at Beloved Asheville. Instagram, photos and videos, https://www.facebook.com/belovedasheville/. The Department of Adult Correction is responding to the effects of Hurricane Helene and working to keep staff and offenders safe. View agency status here. Hurricane Helene, NCDAC. Apply for disaster unemployment assistance. www.des.nc.gov. The deadline to apply is December 2, 2024. Crisis Cleanup. Call 844-965-1386 to be connected with volunteer organizations who can assist with issues like trees, debris, tarps, and mucking out. Note, Crisis Cleanup cannot assist with social services such as food, clothing, shelter, insurance, or FEMA registration. WNC Helene Resource Guide, Google Docs. This guide should not be used in place of reaching out to your local emergency services. Someone to talk to. If you are in a personal crisis and need someone to talk with, you can call the crisis line at 988. If you are not in an immediate crisis but need someone to talk with, you can call the North Carolina Warm Line, 1-855-733-7762. Power outages. You can track power outages at https://www.readync.gov/stay-informed/power-outages. Communication tool. You can use this one-page document to help someone communicate with you or to communicate with someone. https://nccdd.org/images/blog/2020/English_emergency_co communication. It wrapped around. _tool.pdf. Show Me Communication Tool Booklet. This communication booklet can help with communications. https://www.nccdd.org/images/article/forms-docs-brochures/2016/show-me-book_2015b.pdf. Accessibility in shelters. Here is a checklist for those in or running shelters for accessibility. https://www.ncdps.gov/documents/files/shelter-worker-accessibility-checklist/download. LME/MCOs. LME/MCOs are the key connection for most mental health and developmental disability services. You can find your LME/MCO here. https://www.ncdhhs.gov/providers/LME-MCO-directory. Spanish. It's in Spanish. I guess that's everything I read is in Spanish. From Cats Lacab versus Oracle Settlement Administrator, that's spelled KATZ-LACABE, versus ORACLE, Settlement Administrator. Legal notice of class action settlement. You may be entitled to compensation. The United States District Court for the Northern District of California, Katzlikob et al. Versus Oracle America Incorporated, case number 3:22-CV-04792-RS. Notice of proposed class action settlement. Our records indicate that you may be entitled to a payment from a class action settlement because your personal data may have been collected by Oracle America Incorporated. A federal court authorized this notice. You are not being sued. This is not an advertisement. A settlement has been proposed in class action litigation against Oracle America Incorporated, Oracle. This class action alleges that Oracle improperly captured, compiled, and sold individuals' online and offline data to third parties without obtaining their consent. Oracle denies all the allegations made in the lawsuit and any wrongdoing and maintains that its practices were lawful and disclosed to individuals. Who is included in the settlement? You are included if you are a settlement class member, which is defined as, quote, all natural persons residing in the United States whose personal information or data derived from their personal information was acquired, captured, or otherwise collected by Oracle Advertising Technologies or made available for use or sale by or through ID Graph, Data Marketplace, or any other Oracle advertising product or service, from August 19, 2018 to the date of final judgment in the action, unquote. What does the settlement provide? Under the settlement, Oracle will pay $115 million to establish a settlement fund. To submit your claim, go to www.katzprivacysettlement.com/submit-claim. Class counsel will ask the court to award up to 25% of the settlement fund, i.e. up to $28.75 million, for attorney's fees. In addition, class counsel will ask the court to reimburse them out of the settlement fund for the expenses they reasonably incurred and will incur in litigating this case on behalf of settlement class members in an amount not to exceed $225,000. Oracle has reserved the right to object or comment on class counsel's request for attorney's fees and expenses in the district court, and also has agreed not to appeal any order of the district court awarding attorney's fees and expenses. Class counsel will also ask the court to approve service awards of up to $10,000 each for the two class representatives named in the complaint as an award for their service to the settlement class as plaintiffs and class representatives, $20,000 in total, out of the settlement fund. Class counsel's application for attorney's fees, expenses, and service awards will be made available on the settlement website at www.katzprivacysettlement.com before the deadline for you to comment on or object to the settlement. After deducting any court-approved attorney's fees and expenses and service awards for the class representatives and the costs of the settlement administration, the settlement fund will be distributed to class members on a pro rata basis. Oracle will also certify that for as long as it continues to offer the products and services described in the complaint, it will, one, not capture a user-generated information within the referrer URLs, i.e. the URL of the previously visited page, associated with a website user, or b, except for Oracle's own websites, any text entered by a user in an online web form, and subsection 2, implement an audit program to reasonably review customer compliance with contractual consumer privacy obligations. How do I get a payment? You must submit a valid claim form by October 17, 2024. That's soon. Claim forms may be submitted online at www.katzprivacysettlement.com or printed from the website and mailed to the address on the claim form. Claim forms are also available by calling 1-888-255-4036 or emailing questions at katzprivacysettlement.com. You are not required to submit a claim, but if you are in the settlement class and do not submit a claim, you will lose your right to claim compensation in connection with the settlement. Your other options. If you don't want to be legally bound by the settlement, you must exclude yourself from it by October 17, 2024. Unless you exclude yourself, you won't be able to sue or continue to sue Oracle for any claim made in this lawsuit or released by the settlement agreement. If you stay in the settlement, i.e. don't exclude yourself, you may file an objection or other comment no later than October 17, 2024. More information about these options is available at www.catsprivacysettlement.com. Do I have a lawyer in the case? If you are a settlement class member, you have a lawyer in this case. The court appointed as class counsel the law firm of Leif Cubracer Hyman and Bernstein, LLP. Spelled LeifCabracerHeimann Bernstein. To represent settlement class members, if you want to be represented by your own lawyer, you may hire one at your own expense. The court's hearing. The court will hold the final approval hearing at 1:30 p.m. on November 14, 2024, in Courtroom 3, 17th floor of the San Francisco Courthouse, 450 Golden Gate Avenue, San Francisco, California, 94102. There is no requirement that you attend the hearing. You may submit a claim, object, comment, or exclude yourself from the settlement without attending the hearing. At the final approval hearing, the court will consider whether the settlement is fair, reasonable, and adequate, including class counsel's application for attorney's fees, expenses, and for service awards. How do I get more information? For more information, including the full notice, claim form, and settlement agreement, visit www.catsprivacysettlement.com or contact the settlement administrator by email at questions@catsprivacysettlement.com, by phone at 1-888-255-4036, or by mail at cats-lacab@oracleamericainc, care of Settlement Administrator, 1650 Arch Street, Suite 2210, Philadelphia, PA 19103. If you are a member of the settlement class, you may go to the settlement website, www.catsprivacysettlement.com, now and make a claim. Please do not contact the court or the court clerk's office to inquire about this settlement or the claim process. This notice is only a summary. From APR.org, federal court rules Alabama cannot restrict voting assistance for disabled, blind, low-literacy residents. A federal court is ruling that the state of Alabama cannot restrict assistance for disabled, blind, and low-literacy voters in 2024 elections when it comes to the absentee application process. U.S. District Judge R. David Proctor on Tuesday blocked a portion of Alabama's new law criminalizing some forms of ballot assistance, saying it violated the Voting Rights Act. SB 1, new legislation to combat so-called ballot harvesting, passed by the state legislature back in March, and has been signed by Governor Kay Ivey. The law makes it a felony for absentee ballot applications or ballots to be distributed, ordered, requested, collected, completed, obtained, or delivered by a person other than the absentee voter. The Alabama NAACP, ALNAACP, Greater Birmingham Ministries, GBM, the League of Women Voters of Alabama, LWVAL, and the Alabama Disability Advocates Program, ADAP, filed a lawsuit in federal court back in April against Alabama Attorney General Steve Marshall, Alabama's 42 district attorneys, and Alabama Secretary of State Wes Allen. U.S. District Judge Proctor ruled SB 1's key restrictions on absentee application assistance likely violate Section 208 of the Voting Rights Act. Section 208 of the Act was added to the 1965 law in 1982 and allows blind, illiterate, or disabled people to accept assistance by a person of the voter's choice. Tuesday's preliminary injunction means that while the lawsuit continues, SB 1's key criminal sanctions cannot be enforced against disabled, blind, or low literacy voters or against their chosen assistors. In response, Marshall filed motions on Tuesday appealing the ruling and requesting a stay of the preliminary injunction while the order is on appeal. Election day is November 5th. From the New York Times at nytimes.com, elections have gotten more accessible for disabled voters, but gaps remain. A report to the Election Assistance Commission from researchers at Rutgers University found that disabled voters' turnout lagged non-disabled voters by 11 percentage points, down from 17. In 2018, Kenya Flores, who is blind, voted by mail in North Carolina because she was attending college out of state. Had she been able to vote in person, she could have used an accessible machine. But voting absentee, her only option, was to tell another person her choices and have them fill out her ballot. She had no way to verify what they did. Dessa Cosma, who uses a wheelchair, arrived at her precinct in Michigan that year to find that all the voting booths were standing height. A poll worker suggested she complete her ballot on the check-in table and got annoyed when Ms. Cosma said she had a right to complete it privately. Another worker intervened and found a private space. That night, Ms. Cosma, the executive director of Detroit Disability Power, where Ms. Flores is a voting access and election protection fellow, vented to the group's advisory committee and discovered that every one of them had a story about lack of ability to vote easily, and we all had different disabilities, she said. It made me realize, oh wow, even more than I realized, this is a significant problem. It has been for decades. A series of laws, including the Help America Vote Act in 2002, or HAVA, which created new standards for election administration and grant programs for states to maintain those standards, have sought to make it easier. And they have, but major gaps remain. That is illustrated in a new report to the Federal Election Assistance Commission, released by six researchers from Rutgers University and one from San Diego State University. The report looked at elections through the 20th anniversary of HAVA in 2022 and found that the law had generally improved accessibility. The shift was reflected both quantitatively in turnout and the percentage of people reporting trouble voting, and qualitatively in voters' responses in focus groups. Thank you for your patience while we verify access. Already a subscriber? Log in. Want all of the times? Subscribe. DisabilityRightsNC.org has posted the results of their DRNC 2025 Targets Feedback Survey. Download the FY25 Target Community Feedback at the hot link. In what county do you live? DRNC received 522 responses to our 2025 Targets Survey, with respondents from all 100 counties. Nearly 40% of our responses came from six counties: Wake, Durham, Mecklenburg, Orange, Forsyth, and Buncombe. Demographics: age 18 to 39, 100. 40 to 59, 247. 60 and over, 146. Prefer not to answer, 29. Gender: category female, 398. Male, 89. Other, 15. Preferred not to answer, 20. Race ethnicity: category Asian, 10. Black, 91, Hispanic, 15, Native American, 6, White, 352, Other, 8, Chose not to answer, 40. Tell us how much you know about Disability Rights North Carolina. Select 1, Category. I know about the work done by DRNC, 271. I'm unfamiliar with the work of DRNC, 163. I have received help from DRNC, 22. I know someone who has been helped by DRNC, 29. I know, or someone I know, needs help, 37. Relationship to disability: are you a person with a disability? 44 of our respondents were people with disabilities, compared to 42% of 2024 target survey respondents. Category yes, 229. No, 293. How do you self-identify? Category person with a disability, 229. Family member or guardian, 249. Professional advocate, 142. Service provider, 90. Government staff, 82. People have different identities. Choose all the options that describe you. Category person with a disability, 229. Family member or guardian, 249. Professional advocate, 142. Service provider, 90. Government staff, 82. What disability do you identify with? If you don't have a disability, please choose whatever disabilities are related to your life or work. Choose all the options that apply to you. Category, IDD, 228. Autism, autism spectrum, 213. Physical disability, 257. Mental health, 260. Deaf or hard of hearing, 91. Blind or visually impaired, 103. TBI, 104. Other, 11. Which of the targets below have you or your family members experienced issues with? Or do you consider a priority for the disability community in NC? Choose as many options as apply. Category, keep students with disabilities in school, 295. Advocate for people with disabilities to have equal access to integrated jobs that pay at least minimum wage, 318. Enforce the right of people with disabilities to have equal access to their communities, 387. Reduce North Carolina's over-reliance on psychiatric residential treatment facilities, PRTFs, 179. Reduce unnecessary institutionalization of individuals with disabilities and improve access to home and community-based health care services and supports, 349. Protect the housing rights of people with disabilities under federal and state law, 338. Advocate for a safe, equitable, and just criminal justice system for people with disabilities, 299. Enforce the right of disabled people to control their own lives, 306. What issues currently affecting North Carolina's disability community would you like to bring to DRNC's attention? There were 296 responses for this question. Survey responses came from all 100 counties in North Carolina. Community accessibility. Respondents spoke to the many barriers to accessing basic rights and services across various communities in North Carolina. They also shared the critical need for better support in fostering healthy relationships, more accessible public spaces, and comprehensive health care accommodations. Inadequate enforcement of ADA compliance, particularly in parks, playgrounds, and public buildings, is another challenge that leaves many feeling neglected and frustrated with the lack of progress and accountability from local and state governments. Criminal legal system supports and reforms. The pervasive lack of accommodations, unjust treatment, and prolonged jail sentences, often leading to solitary confinement and inadequate legal defense, were some concerns raised in comments pertaining to the criminal legal system. The system also fails to protect disabled victims of crime, particularly those from marginalized communities, and lacks sufficient diversion programs for those with mental health and substance use disorders. Education. Widespread challenges due to inadequate special education services, a lack of trained teachers, and insufficient funding, especially in rural areas, were a common theme. These issues are compounded by the need for better access to specialized schools, health insurance coverage, and educational opportunities that truly accommodate their unique needs, ensuring they receive the free and appropriate education guaranteed by the state constitution. Several comments specifically mentioned the need for educators to be trained on the needs of autistic students. Well, I ran out of time for this week's Vision News. I hope you enjoyed it. I'm Doris Hyde, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. Today's episode is underwritten by the Apex Lions Club, serving the community since 1937 by providing services and financial support for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. To learn more about the services provided by the Apex Lions Club, go to apexlions.org. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind, have low vision, or print disabilities. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. Call 919-832-513.